Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 147, part 2, What's Unclean, What's Common. Today is Sunday, May 16th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why? Because we have no boundaries. We're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also shop at Pastor Paul's Mall, supporting our advertisers who support us. Now, to join our online community, go to Pastor Paul's homepage. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog, leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony about Pastor Paul's podcast. You can email me, Janine@pastorpaul.org. And at the blog, you're going to find show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast that have scripture links. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for two parts to Pastor Paul's weekly episode. This month, the month of May, here is the lineup. Your influence, what's useless, what's common, examination, self-emphasis, or others' emphasis. There you have it, the lineup for May. Be sure to join us. Have a beautiful month. God bless you.
You're just in here for a short while. Every once in a while, I can hear my real self yelling there, "Let me out! Let me out of here! Hey!" Does that mean like you want to die? Well, sometimes. Sometimes I just agree with people, drop dead, you know what I mean? Right? But what I'm really talking about here is that sometimes we're bound up in our little building. When we shine up our little building in the windows, our eyes, we get them all cleaned up. When we brush the little door here, the mouth and the teeth and the tongue, and we get it all ready to go. And we get the hair comb back and we get everything just looking just right. Now, how do you like this building? How do you like this model? Huh? Da, 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 huh? How many hearing this? See, it's not that mobile temple. It's what you fill that mobile temple with. Oh, God, I want out. I want out of here. So that Christ can be revealed. So there's no longer I that lives, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. That I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I told Moses this 40 years ago. Now, if you got ears to hear, go on over into Canaan land. Go on over! And then we have a man, Josh here, he did not see the difficulty. He did not talk the difficulty. He did not think the difficulty. He didn't fill his heart with fear. Did you ever fill your heart with fear? You know when you're going to do something wrong, preacher? When you're going to do something wrong, when you're going to get up and preach something that God hasn't given you, do you know what? Your heart will be full of fear. Not to say that you can't be fearful. Not that you don't tremble at the word of God, but I mean most times, see, when you have an evil report, and you're going to hear them all over the land now, you're going to hear an evil report on that ministry and this ministry. Oh, there's always evil reports on this one. God, I'm so sick of hearing them. You know what I mean? If I was in the world, man, I'd run away. You hearing it? How about a good report? You preachers out there, now listen. When we're moving in the things of God, in the very end, you're going to hear all of these reports. And you know why? It's because everybody's become a spiritual expert, and they've all read all these little pamphlets, and they've heard every teaching there is. They're taught out, and my God, they hate to give up all of this teaching for the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, which is so wide and so deep and so high, you can't get around it, you can't get over it, and you can't get under it. You got to come in at the door. The simple, what they call the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, has got to come back in, and the blood of Jesus Christ has got to be preached. And the forgiveness of sin has to be preached, and the grace of God has to be preached, and we've got to stop being so afraid of loving one another. Isn't that right? So afraid of showing any kind of affections towards Jim. Oh, you're showing favoritism, or you're showing favoritism towards Ruth, or to Carolyn, or to Corey here. Or Andy. You preachers out there, don't be afraid. Cut loose. Because it says in the end, you're going to be hated in the house of your friends. Don't listen to it. Go on. How many hearing this message? Whew. Woo. But he didn't go in there with a half a heart. He didn't hear the no-nos. No, don't go in. Don't you remember what they told us 40 years ago? No, because I'm busy listening to God, what he told me 40 seconds ago. You should obey God in 40 seconds instead of 40 years. See, you know, the difference was that he had the light and the illumination of a higher vision. And oh, that's misunderstood when you're in a different light. You're light years away when you're in the light and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his mercy and forgiveness endureth forever, and you're into that type of ministry that goes on. And the people got behind him and said, Are you hearing this? Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. I like that. We're going to go ahead and go on in there, and we're going to conquer that land. And if you don't like it, we're going to shoot you. Only be strong and of good courage. If God is for you, who should go against you, they thought. And preacher, that is the way you have got to start thinking. I'm getting phone calls from you all, and you're getting slapped up alongside of your heads. If God is for you, who can be against you? The most misunderstood message in the whole world is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the free love and the free mercy and the free forgiveness. It is misunderstood because people just naturally don't receive it because they can't receive it for themselves because, of course, you see, they think they're too nasty. Most times they are. But the grace covers them anyway. And I think most times we just miss it, don't we? We miss the very great things of life because we are looking for them in the new guys, the new teaching, the new wave, the new, the new thing. Oh, my folks. Jesus is always the same, the Bible says, yesterday, today, and forever. You know what? We don't even see the great, wonderful possibilities in the trifles of our everyday lives. I came into this cafe. It was over in St. Paul. And do you always go in cafes? Yes, every morning I go in the cafes. And I thought, well, this is an interesting cafe. I'm going to stop in there and see what God's got for me in there. Well, see, I'm a Greek and I was brought up in cafes, and so that's where I figured some messages might be for me. Isn't that weird? Okay, weird as it may be, I get messages out of there. Going on. And this waitress, I looked at the table and I thought, no, isn't this neat? And I noticed that she had steak sauce and ketchup, two kinds of steak sauce and a ketchup. And then she had some kind of horseradish and some kind of a spicy salt and pepper. And everything was in sort of a little box. It wasn't in a box, but she had them like this and like that. And they were all the way down the tables. And I says, you know what? I says, someone in here has done a lot of work. It's just beautiful. And so she started looking around. I says, no. I says, I'm looking at the tables. Look at somebody put all these things in order, and the things are turned out so you can tell what kind of steak sauce you're getting, what kind of ketchup you're getting, what kind of spice you're getting, where the salt and pepper, and it's all in order. And I think it was done out of love. I said, you did that, didn't you? Well, yes. Now, she was all ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you think she heard it? You better believe she heard it. Because our God is a God of order. I says, you know, this is real godly. This is so beautiful. She didn't think she was godly. And she started to talk about somebody. She says, oh, I wish we never would have moved them people in with us. They've been living there. And she went on. She says, oh, they just take advantage and so on like that. And now they're going down. They're going to get welfare. And they're getting $600 a week. And you know, I'm just barely making it. I'm working two jobs. I says, praise God that you're working. Do you know how hard that is to sit down there in one of them places and get $600 out of them people? He says, you know what? I never thought of it like that. And I says, count it a double blessing. They won't be living with you. Pray that they do give them the $600. He says, well, I never thought of it that way. See, your prayers are being answered. Now, I says, don't stop there. Pray for these other people that they would get off of welfare. You say there's nothing wrong with them? Of course, there is something wrong with them. But do you say there's nothing wrong with them? I says, walk in there and give them a good word. And she was scratching her head. And then I went down to another cafe in the afternoon now, not the same day. In the afternoon of the... it was the same day. And I walked down. It was quite a ways down. And it was down there on Selby Avenue. And I walked inside. And she said, "Hi!" I said, "What are you doing here?" "This is my second job!" She was smiling away like she wanted to get a third one. Well, I said, "I might have known you'd be in here. Look at the order in this place." I mean, those are good reports. But you got to have your eyes open, my God, for the common thing and for the little thing and for those things that lift people up. They're just little everyday things. Who cares about salt and pepper? Most people just say, "Throw it on the floor." Isn't there a song like that? Little things mean a lot. We don't see the wonderful possibilities in the trifles, I said, of our everyday living. We expect happiness, but we expect it in the future. Someday I'm going to be happy. Someday over the rainbow, huh? Way up high, huh? Well, come on. Oh, wait for that rainbow, run to it, crawl over the top and get to the other side. Why not have it right now? Why not have a revelation right now about what we call common? But no, you know what we confess? We confess, "I know it's coming. It must be close because I can't suffer much more." Oh, yes, you can. With that type of attitude, God will allow you to suffer till the kingdom come. "I'm just hanging in there." Oh, God, I hate that phrase. I wonder what that means, just hanging in there. God, what does that mean? "I'm just hanging in there." What can that mean? Hanging in there, hanging in there. Does it mean they're hanging in? Just hanging? Huh? What does it mean? What a miserable existence, just hanging in there. Hang in there, brother. And then they tell you to hang in there. Keep hanging. Where is it that we're to hang in there? Where are we supposed to hang in? I mean, if I'm having a miserable time, why hang in there? Huh? Help. Hang in there, huh? I mean, you know what I'm talking about here. Hang in there. What can I hang on here? God, there must be something I can hang on. Here it is. Hang in there. Okay, thanks a lot. That encouragement helps me out a lot. All right, yeah, I'm doing fine. Yep, I'm just hanging in there. Hey, oh yeah. Yep, I'm miserable, but at least I'm hanging in there. What in the world does that mean, hang in there? I think you get hung up hanging in. Why not learn how to rest in the Lord? How many are hearing this? I remember hanging onto a branch one time. I got way up in a tree, crawled out there. My leg slipped down and I was holding onto this branch. Believe me, I was hanging in there. You know why? I was one of them great big oak trees. It was about 75 feet down. When I got in my mama's big fat arms, man, I was resting in those arms until she got done with her fear, and then them big old arms came on the seat of my pants for hanging in there. Don't you be hanging out of them trees? You aren't a monkey, are you? But one thing nice about my mother, the windmill, after that she strapped your rear, she'd always have a good laugh. The way she was, wasn't she? Now, did you learn a lesson? About hanging in there? Yeah. Thanks, Mom. I got a message out of it. Not to go hanging in there. You know why? You get whooped when you hang in there. You get beat to death. You got people that encourage you to hang in there. I mean, I'm having a miserable time. Hang in there. And so we expect a happiness to come in the future. We expect it to come true through some kind of a vague dream. Do you ever have a vague dream that something, everything is going to be all right? And you're sitting down here in the dung hills of whatever that you've created. Now, I was telling Jan this the other day. I says, now listen. I said, this at this particular time in our marriage, you're sitting on a dunghill that you created. I'm sitting on a dunghill that I created. And we're each saying our particular dunghill is better than the other person's dunghill. My God, isn't that stupid? Why don't we just walk away from these dunghills that we created? Oh, okay. Wasn't that right? You're not embarrassed by me saying this, are you? It's going to help somebody. What's the difference? You have to die daily anyway, right? Are you dying right now? Good. I am too. Let's help each other drop dead. Maybe this is a good message for other folks. I know it's a good one for me. How many hearing this? How many in their marriages have created dunghills that they sit on? This is my dunghill and this is your dunghill. And you just sit there. Great, great. Put your hands up, everybody. And that's all. Okay. All right. Now, just John puts both hands up. Several are putting both hands up. I see one man kicking his legs up in the air. My God, you're anxious to get out of the dunghills. Good. What if you're not married? Well, you can be sitting on what? Well, you still get on a dunghill. There you are. That's so beautiful. Well, young man, that's good, because now when you get married, you'll know that. See, I think this is a beautiful people. Jenny, you got such beautiful kids there. He kind of reminds me of my son, Steve. Doesn't he kind of look like Steve a little bit? Anyway. Steve has been trying to help his dad off the dunghill and he wouldn't come. Been trying to help his mother off the dunghill and she wouldn't come. Debbie's been trying, Cheryl's been trying, I mean everybody's been trying. But you know what was wrong? It wasn't the right timing. The waitress had to give me the word. And the word was vibrations. You remember that message on Friday? You should get that tape. And I got vibrated right off of my dunghill. Praise God, I didn't vibrate and sit there and sink into it. I mean, when a volcano is starting to come alive, do you sit in the mouth of it? No. Are you hearing this? We expect happiness to come in the future. Why not right now? Or when the chariots of fire surround us. Oh, if only we could have chariots of fire surround us. With the steeds that they're... Huh? Our happiness will come when we reach that point. And so many people, when they reach a certain point in their life, they're going to have happiness. When the house is paid off. You know, by the time your house is paid off, it needs to be rebuilt or burned down. When we have enough money, When we reach that point, and some people go off every year. We know a couple. And they go off every year, and they sit down in Arizona, and they come back with a great big red nose. Isn't that sad? Well, what'd you do? And they're standing up in Minnesota with a big red nose, drinking some more big red nose juice up here. Well, yeah, the temperature, that's all they can talk about, the temperature. Temperature is right around 78 and 82. Well, how would you know? You're in the bar all the time, 68 degrees in there, slobbing up booze. I didn't say that, but it comes to your mind, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, but I mean, it comes to my mind. And here they are in Minnesota, and they got the same thing going on. Waiting for happiness to come. When I retire, remember years ago, the same person, when he retired, when I retire, all he could talk about was retiring. Now he's retired. Now what has he got? Bad liver. Red nose, yellow skin. When I have a woman, when I have a man, man. Now, you girls, man does not bring happiness. He brings you a whole lot of problems. Is that right? Don't be so anxious. It's true, isn't it? You know what we need? We need a baby. Huh? Isn't that what we said? Let's have a baby. Really? You really want one? Yes. So we had the baby. We had Debbie. That did not do it, did it? Well, you know what? Debbie needs somebody to play with, to be miserable with. So let's have another baby. So we had Cheryl, and that didn't do it, did it? And we waited 4 years, was it? As you know what? I think it's about time we had another baby. And we had Julie. And that didn't do it, and Stevie didn't do it. Now we had six miserable people in a miserable house. And you know what? After that I got saved, it's not that I didn't love my kids. It's not that I didn't have fun with them, but I just didn't have my whole heart in it because I didn't have a whole heart. I only had a human, stony heart. You know what I mean? I only had a heart that I grew up with. Nice boy, nice girl. Oh, yeah, they're nice. We send them to college and, you know, yeah, they're great kids, you know. And then if they fail, God, you don't even know them. Right? No, I can't really say I was boy to love. I loved the kids, but I didn't love them until really till after I got born again. But the point is, it didn't make us happy. I mean, we stretch out empty, unemploring arms to the stars when the flowers of possibilities are growing right down here, right here, right here. Did you ever wonder at me when we're traveling along? I said, well, let's stop the car here. And we'd run up on top of a hill, and we'd get up there and look at the scenery. Remember how I used to love look at scenery and check every little blade of grass out and all these kind of wild flowers and everything? Did you think that was kind of weird? I used to think I was kind of weird myself. And we'd get out there, and I'd look at all these little... Man, now look at the varieties of these flowers. And I'd be talking to Jan. Now, see this one? Now, see those little lines in there and so on? And I turn around, they'd all be gone. Where do they go? I mean, don't you guys see? Now, isn't this interesting? Look at these moss roads. These are wild. And they got, now see this? Now, let's just, come on now, this is important. And we'd be looking at those, you know. And I say, now see this one here? Now this one here, if that pairs up with this one here, that, and then this variety over here, and look, and I turn around, and they'd be gone again. Come on, let's get going! I remember. No, nothing against anybody here. Now, let's don't get on a dunghill, Steve, and the rest of you. Don't gang up on me. But it was really the truth. Those little teeny things and those little perfect little things, I was in even the grass. Now, this is a different kind of grass than they got in Minnesota. And this is a different kind of a grass than they got in Arizona. And this is a different kind of grass. And look at this kind of tree and that kind of tree. And that kind of looks like an oak tree, but it really isn't an oak tree. And you turn around, everybody's gone. Where'd they go? I tell you, so many times there's so many beautiful things, but we're reaching out for the stars and we're reaching out for all the supernatural, and the most common beautiful things are right before our face. Right there. Did you ever realize how sweet and beautiful a little baby is? How perfect? Your turn to change the diapers! Well, I can see that. But I mean, your turn to feed the kid. You know what I mean? And we miss it. All around us, just waiting to be enjoyed. I believe, yes, that they're actually growing hidden. And they're growing, but you have to seek them out in the common places all about us. Just take a look. They're all around wonders. Wonders. Stew is a wonder. Here's a wonder. Now you just, pretty soon you become commonplace. Oh, stew. Stew is here. Oh, yeah. Stew and Sue. Rudy Doo. And you start to take stew for granted. Well, you know, Stew, he's always kind of level and mild and so on like that. Don't let him kid you. He's silly as can be at times. And we miss it because we don't pull those things out of people. Do you know that? That you start getting silly when I started getting free with you and I started getting just sort of ridiculous and it started to draw stew out of his stew. It's the truth. And it's the same way with Ruth. She came down here and she got drawn out. Isn't that right? You did. You're not the same person. I know that. Well, even when you were gone out of here, I knew in my heart you were a different person. Carolyn is not the same person that came down here. No, she is not. Not the same person. Because if you get to preach or get to know all those little things about people and appreciate them, somehow you can draw those things out of people. I remember preaching over the radio to a vegetable. Her name is Janine Durant, a vegetable that was in the gardens doing vegetables and she was hearing tapes, a total vegetable. By the confession of her own mouth, a vegetable. She has been drawn out. Talents that are hidden are drawn out. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes understanding and it takes love. My very own wife was so shy she couldn't even say a word. Would you know it now? No, because you draw people out of themselves. You draw out all them hidden things that are there, all of those little things that are right there. You just draw them out. And in the process, let me tell you something, folks, you'd be misunderstood. Let me say something here today. Here's a person sitting right here. She's being drawn out. Aren't you, Rose? Yes, you're being drawn out. You're not the same Rose. And here, oh my God. Sit down, honey. Sit down. You can watch me. You can sit over the seat and you can watch me go up here. This little girl has not, she has been drawn out. Do you remember when you were coming in and you were like this? Now, when she says goodbye, we know we got another hour. So I said, now while you're saying goodbye, Rosemary, why don't you take the sweeper and sweep the floor? Because it takes you about an hour and a half to say goodbye. Well, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a ministry? Sometimes people don't think you even have a ministry. I've been told that. You don't even have a ministry. Well, I know I do have a ministry. My ministry is drawing people out. My ministry is encouraging people. My ministry is ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my ministry is allowing the Holy Spirit to fill me and the Holy Spirit to work out of me, irregardless of the comment, irregardless of the criticism, irregardless of anything, because it doesn't matter. See, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ in me, the hope of glory, don't you see? That's what it's all about. Seeing those little things within people that can develop. George, you're not the same person that came in here. Was afraid of one key, and now you carry all the keys. Now you do the whole building. I mean, now you counsel people with great wisdom. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Coming down into this place right here and seeing all the beauty. Oh, what a beautiful place to be, the north side, where there are so many common, so-called common people. Overlooked. Shot by. So sometimes people tell me, you have no ministry. True. The ministry has me. People who couldn't work, sluggards, out and out sluggards are working. Fearful people now that are productive people. Oh, let's just say if the sun was to come up only once a year in all of its majesty and all of its beauty and all of its glory, once a year, wouldn't everybody notice it? Wouldn't everybody line the streets waiting for the sun to come up? It's about ready to come up. Do you see it? No, but it's getting a little bit lighter. It's sort of like they call twilight. Before it comes up, oh, it's so beautiful. You're just going to freak out when you see it. Have you never seen it before? No, no, this is my first time. Huh? What a holiday that would be. Nobody would oversleep on that day. With the exception, of course, of the sluggard exceptional, the champion of sluggards. Take that and like it, sluggos. Are you hearing it? But most of us would line the rooftops like little birds that get on these telephone wires, and we'd be sitting there waiting for the sun to rise. Chirp, 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 chirp. Caw, caw, caw. Chirp, 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 chirp. Huh? Because, see, it wouldn't be happening every day. No, we don't notice that it happens every day right on time until it doesn't happen that day. Sometimes in my ministry I thought, you know, should I just cut and run? Should I just take off? I mean, maybe sometimes you become too commonplace. And the Lord spoke to me and says, that is not your fault. That is the fault of people. And if you start looking the same way, then you'll start to overlook in the commonplace things. Don't do it. But I say unto you, there is a higher royal law of love. I say unto you, if your neighbor's hungry, feed him. Wouldn't the hills be covered, though, when this once-a-year event would take place? Wouldn't some people climb up the flagpoles? Wouldn't there be a whole lot of these up-in-the-branch people? Wouldn't some climb to the very tops of the mountain peaks? But we would all seek higher levels to witness the very great miracle of the birth of a brand new morning. And I'll tell you, every morning and every birth of every morning is a miracle. When you think of all the things combined to create that morning, and you say, glory to God, another morning. Another morning, and this sun comes up on the common place, on my common wife and my common husband. And sometimes we don't even notice their faces. You just kind of never even look at them. You sometimes even forget what color eyes they have. And if you were to close your eyes, you would not be able to picture your wife or your husband because you haven't looked at them in a long time. Are you here? Because it doesn't happen daily. It becomes commonplace. It passes by unnoticed, and we do that with people. I noticed when I was down in, let's say, like Wyoming, or we were traveling through the South. And, oh, we were in Minnesota, and the sun rises there. We're so beautiful. And we were down there in Wyoming. We said, but hey, we are down here, and the sun rises here. We're so beautiful. Why was it? It was a different setting. A different setting, isn't it? Why not take yourselves out and put yourself in a brand new setting sometime? Some place where it's just commonplace, you know what I mean? And you're out there in a common place with common folks, with common flowers, with common cars, with common... Everything is common, but everything is different. And we have to start to eliminate these negative things and start looking for the positive things in the people. Say, well, now here's Ruth today. Now, you know, she might even think of herself as a grasshopper or common, but she's not. What are the possibilities in Ruthie? Right? And what can we pull out of Ruth? What can we pull out of Jan? I was looking at one of these little drops of water through one of these microscopes. It was just a little drop of water. I thought, that's nothing. It's a drop of water. But you look through that one of them high-powered microscopes. Oh, my. I mean, there's everything in there. There's a world of things inside of that little drop of water. What was common now wasn't common anymore. I mean, you couldn't exhaust all the wonders that were in that one little drop of water. And I thought to myself, God, help me never to stop challenging people and overlooking the possibilities that are in people. Or the snowflake. Oh, my. I read about it here not too long ago. It says that the snowflake is based like on six lines meeting in a common center with an angle of 60 degrees, united at that angle of 60 degrees with more than 1,000 separate possibilities in the design. Millions in one snowflake. What a wonder. And so I thought, well, let me go on with this. And I told the guy about that, and he said, well, did you ever hear about the dandelion? Condemned as to the weed killer? Hated because it's so common, and yet the naturalist says it is the king of the vegetable kingdom. It is one of the most very perfect forms, one of the oldest, one of the most finished order, the higher type of plant, of higher than the rose, higher than the lily, higher than the cedar or the palm or the oak. And by its very structure, it is a wonder of wonders. It is. He says he went on. He was just thrilled about this dandelion. And he says it has three separate methods of reproduction. Did you know that? Well, I says, I didn't know, but you're creating a great interest in me over this dandelion. Go on, brother. Wow! Because I was interested in those kind of things anyway. And he says, put together in nearly 1,300 pieces. Wow! And he went on, he says, each one of them has an antler or bags, and each one of those little bags holds 500 pollen grains. Five, I thought, five times 1,300? Yes, brother, yes! And I said, you know what? Isn't it funny, but life is made up of just common things and we overlook them all the time, and common deeds and common days? I believe it's on the field of the commonplace, in the dull round of daily duties and daily cares, that the battle of life must be fought and the victory of the character to be made manifest in each person. Don't settle seeing yourself as a grasshopper. Don't think that others see you that way. I'm saying here today that each mountaintop experience for spectacular displays of heroism are few. You can't all land on the moon, you can't all drive jets, and you can't all drive cars, and you can't all be great athletes, and you can't all be given to gifts of inspiring millions. But to all is given the commonplace, to live to its very truest and highest best. Let's realize what a smile can do. Let's start to realize what a look of appreciation, a look of love, and a look of cheer, and a handshake can do. A tone of tenderness. An expression of courage. Oh, if we've ever needed courage, we need it right now. Courage. Courage. And how that courage can inspire someone that's ready to throw in the towel. And here's this man I was talking about this morning in this cafe up here. Another cafe? Yes, another cafe. Come in, I hadn't seen him, and he's ready to close up. Oh, I got this thing over here, and he says, as usual with me, everything is going backwards. My God, he says, I got this great big thing over here. It's 5,500 square feet. I can drive cars in it, and I sell these used cars. I got gas, I got repair and everything, and I'm going steadily in the hole every day. Well, I said, let me encourage you. As a man that has had a lot of failures, I can tell you a lot of things not to do. Well, what's that? I says, don't panic. Because before the glory of God comes, a lot of times there's a whole lot of things that will enter in, a trial, a tribulation, so on. I says, I want you to go back in your shop. I want you to open up those doors in the front of that shop and go all through there. I want you to draw all your help in there and say, help, I am going to pray to God right now to open. I had led him to the Lord down here in my office sometime. I says, I want you to open all the doors. I want you to pray to God and say, God, if you want this thing to go, let her go, and I'll give you all the glory. And if you don't want it to go, close the doors. So if you feel a tear,